Let's talk about God's real name today. This is actually a letter, and I normally do these letters on YouTube, but because I was going to make this a topic for the podcast, I decided let's just go ahead and tackle it. And I really needed to get to this because this is something that is a little bit old. Well, it's not that old. I have some really old stuff, but I felt like this particular topic, I really wanted to take precedence. And I wanted to cover this in a podcast episode. So God is good. Let's go with it. And if you notice a difference in the sound of today's video, give me a silent clap. I have decided to finally hook up the microphone. And it's not even a real microphone because y'all know, queen of sustainability, I never let not having something or not having the perfect environment stop me from getting started. Y'all know that's how we've been rocking and rolling for the past year with TikTok. That's how we've been rocking and rolling with podcasts, with YouTube. I pretty much do everything on my phone. And if it ain't broke, I don't fix it. So for a while, I was not using the microphones because y'all know that saying, the more stuff you have, the stuff starts to have you. I really don't like, and this is something that drives my husband crazy sometimes, I do not like to have little things and trinkets and like accessories, because then you gotta take care of them. Like, now I got this microphone thing. I got two microphones because my phone ports are different, so I have one for each phone, but you gotta charge them. Ugh, right? But I know that it probably does make it sound better. And I did receive a comment on a YouTube video recently saying that the sound was low. I did listen to the video and it sounded fine, but I decided to just go ahead and take that as some positive feedback, because we appreciate positive feedback. I know that y'all vibe with me. I know sometimes we respectfully disagree all the things, but I also know that y'all are here for me and you wouldn't tell me no foolishness, right? So yeah, got a new microphone, just a little mini rant. But I do want to get into this letter and let's talk about God's real name. So she says, "Hi, I'm 21 years old and a wife and mother of soon to be two boys. Just want to start off by saying I enjoy your content and benefit from it a great deal. You're like my spiritual auntie. One of your recent posts, I asked you about fasting while being pregnant and you told me to seek." Yeah, she did put YAH in quotation marks. "Now I understand that our father's name is Yahuwah, because around this time last year, my husband received a revelation of this. And of course, I questioned it." She did say within myself, because it was something I had never heard before. And it kind of seemed blasphemous in a way, but he would explain to me, and nothing he would say rubbed my spirit the wrong way, so I would hear him out. But now I believe Yah is starting to do the same to me. I've been having a lot of one-on-one time with him since I gave birth, him being God, since I gave birth to my son last August. I am a stay-at-home mom and am pregnant again, so you could say I've been in this wilderness isolation season. I've been able to go to church as often. I haven't been able to go to church as often as I used to, but I guess what I'm asking you is your perspective on the name and how did you come to know it? Any advice on how to deal with the church opposing it? Our church is family, literally great aunt, the late prophetess, and her husband, our apostle, founded our church. So it's full of aunts, uncles, cousins, etc. But everyone completely against it. It's a couple more of our members who are making the transition from Jesus to Yeshua. And our overseers say it's the spirit of Antichrist and confusion. I know that it's not up to us to push anything on them, especially because the older generation have a thing for not wanting to hear anything but the thing they are used to. And my husband and I understand this, but any advice on how to deal with it? Thank you for taking time to read this. I appreciate it so much. Sending love." One, this letter is so cool because this is really one of the first times I've read a letter where there's so many commonalities. Not everything, but like even thinking about how young she is as a stay-at-home mom, the church situation, like coming to the truth, all of these things. And I really do believe that this is a delicate topic that I wanted to take some time to address. And like I said, it's something I wanted to talk about anyway. So let's talk about it. You asked, so first let me go back and I will, it's a lot that I want to say about this topic. And as always, I just ask that you hear me out, you know, y'all hear my heart. The one thing that I've come to understand and the revelation that God has continuously given to me is that personal conviction is a real thing. There are standards, right? There are things that we are all to abide by. But there are also personal convictions. And one of the things that I came to understand when I started to realize the truth, and I've also had the experience of people saying like, oh, it doesn't matter. That's a spirit of confusion. And I've been made to understand why people say that, because depending on a person's intention on why they are choosing to use Hebrew names, it could be a spirit of just being inflated ego, right? Being self-righteous, depending on the posture of your heart. But what I will say is, I do believe that God reveals things to different people at different times. And I also believe that God, in all his knowing and how gracious and kind he is, he understands what we know and what we do not know. And he also understands intention, true intention. I don't mean like a God knows my heart type of person, because people will say God knows my heart as an excuse to just do whatever and act crazy, right? But the truth is, God does know our hearts, and he does know our intentions, and he does know our motives. And so if you're not careful with that God knows my heart thing, yeah, he know, right? And so I understand that if a person does not know what I know yet, they're not any less of a quote-unquote Christian, right? Because if you think about it, even in our knowing, we're supposed to be constantly trying to ascend, not trying to be perfect, because we strive for perfection, but we'll never get there. But we should be constantly immersing ourselves in the truth of God, constantly peeling back these layers. And with every ounce of understanding that we get, it's almost like you have more and more grace for people, reasonable grace, because there is some stuff that's just absolute foolishness, right? But reasonable grace with people, where you know that their intentions are pure, you know that they're trying to do better. And so this is kind of going to the part about the spirit of Antichrist and like how to deal with people who don't believe the same. I just always extend grace. And there are sometimes where I don't say anything, right? I have learned in my maturity and as I grow in Christ, like, it's not always time and place to say something. And there's actually a really cool video. I watched this video today, as God would have it. There's a video of a transgender man. I am not even intended. I have to go back and listen to the actual terminology. This person was born a woman, transitioned to male, and then transitioned back to female. So I don't want to use the incorrect terminology, but it's a woman who was in the trans lifestyle and was set free. And what she was talking about in that video was this idea of grace and understanding, but also this, it was almost like a message to people within the faith, but also a message to people who are struggling with the LGBTQ lifestyle, right? And so what was incredible about what she shared was how important it is to have grace and how important it is to almost have restraint. And she didn't say it in that way, but that's what I took away from what she was saying. The restraint, because a lot of times we spend so much time trying to talk to people and get them to understand what we're trying to understand, get them to believe what we believe, but their heart is not ready to receive it. Their ears are not ready to hear it. So what she spoke of was, there was a point in her journey of transitioning where she didn't have the ears to hear the truth. And she was like, it's because I was mentally ill, but I didn't know that I was sick. So if somebody's telling me you're sick and I'm like, no, I'm not, I'm healthy, there's nothing wrong with me, this is my lifestyle, it's going to fall on deaf ears and you're actually just going to come off like a nuisance, right? And so I thought that was really interesting. And it was the way she explained it in the video was very, very beautiful. And I think I'm actually going to attach a link to that. I'm not sure how to do that in the podcast. So if you listen to this podcast and there is no link, please email me or leave a comment and I will send it to you directly. But I did post it to my story today. I am recording this ahead of the time that it's going to be posted though, so there's that. But yeah, so she was explaining that we need not, I don't want to say waste our time, but we need not waste energy on trying to convince and convert everyone, because that's not necessary. And this is even something that I've learned in my journey with content creation and just being a person who, I'm not a Christian content creator. I'm a lady that got a phone and I'd be making content, right? But I wear all of my personalities in one. So every time I open my mouth, I'm opening my mouth as a child of God. And every time I open my mouth, I'm opening my mouth as a woman who is also married, who is also a mother. And so all of these things. But one of the things that I've learned is you can't help. And this is what she said in the video. You cannot help people that don't want to be helped. And so once a person has made up their mind and they have a stubborn spirit, we have to remember that even the Bible tells us that some will plant and some will water. And it's up to God to give that increase. So you may just be the person to plant the seed. You may just be the person to say something. And I'll get in my personal example, I used to wholeheartedly think that my grandma on my daddy's side was doing too much. I was like, this lady always got us in church. She always talking about the Lord. She always praying. She be doing too much all my life. And when I got into adulthood, I actually said to my uncle, one of my dad's brothers, I was like, man, the only thing that I wish, and it makes me emotional now, the only thing that I wish I had done sooner was come to God in a way that I am now. I got baptized when I was young, my own free will. Nobody like baptized me as a baby, but I did. I walked down the aisle of my church. I asked my uncle's girlfriend at the time, walked with me. It was Father's Day. I was 10. I was 10 and it was Father's Day at the time that I walked up to the altar. And then a few weeks later I was baptized. But, and I was always like a good kid. Like my parents never had any real issues with me. I was mildly rebellious and like stubborn at times, but nothing that my parents ever had any real issues with. But as I got older, as an adult, I was more in the world. I was more carnal. I was more led by influence and things like that, which I think, you know, I'm not going to say all, but most teenagers and young adults go through that. And so when I came back to the faith and the understanding, I really realized how valuable it was to have her. And I'm still grappling with this understanding, but I find that she was in my life and in this family to plant the seed for me. Because a lot of the things that I'm now understanding, a lot of the things that I read about, I almost have these flashbacks all the time of like, oh God, it really is that serious. And she used to say that, and she would say this, and I remember she told me about this. And I would not have the same journey in my walk if I had not had my grandmother. And so I do believe that she was there to plant the seed in her offspring. And I know for me, she planted the seed, and it's constantly something that is helping me on my journey even after she's already passed. So I just said a lot, and I still have more to say, see? That's why I couldn't type this, friend. So in that understanding that we all have a job to do, but we also have a responsibility to understand when to speak, when not to speak, keep in mind that some of us will plant seeds, some of us will water it, and it is up to God to give that increase. So if you ever feel that there is this saying of like, that's the Antichrist, that's the spirit of confusion, if you catch a tinge of offense, I would not engage. But, and this happens a lot, especially in religious circles, churches and things like that. People can be unknowingly prideful in what they know. And the one thing that I've realized and that has been so helpful for me is throwing out everything that man taught me and just going with the Bible, God, Holy Spirit, what is this? Because there are so many things that we learn growing up and we just take it in. And that's what it is. Like I grew up in a church even where we all know when the pastor's going to say, but early on Sunday morning, he got up, right? He says that every Sunday in his sermon. And I'm not saying that to say anything other than I've never read that in the Bible, right? Like in that phrase, early on Sunday morning, I've never read that. And there's a lot of other things like that, that I've never physically read. And I had to understand that it's so important to get rid of everything that you think you know and almost start afresh, because there are so many agendas out there and there are so many doctrines out there, and if everybody believes that they're right, well, who do I listen to? And so I say that to say, in these circles, in these churches, in these religious circles, once it is we believe what we believe and this is what we know, there's no room for conversation. And I understand that, and this is why I say that grace comes in. I understand that, because who wants to fall away? Who wants to be deceived? The Bible tells us, take heed, let no one deceive you. Take heed that no one deceive you, right? And so that's a heavy thing to consider. So if you think that you're right based on what you're taught and what you read, anything else looks like deception. So I keep that in mind when I'm having conversations with people. And when I hear offense, I leave it alone and I pray for them. So I really do think that what would be helpful in this particular situation where there are people telling you, like, this is the spirit of Antichrist and confusion, I think you should pray for them. Now, I do want to transition into also talking about, there are people who believe that we should only use those names. That I have not had, God has not told me that. He has not said that it is only this. And because of that, I don't subscribe to the fact that I should never say God and I should never say Jesus. As a matter of fact, I say both. And I would argue that more so in my private time, I say Yah. In my private time, I say Yeshua. I'll say it in public, but I will tell you why I've also had that that understanding and why I go about this practice until I learn or until God directs me into doing something different. When I'm having these conversations, what I do not want to do is say something that confuses somebody and now they're like, yeah, I don't know what she's talking about. And so I find that sometimes using the Hebrew name, there are some people who are just not there yet. They don't get it. And some of them will ask you for clarification, but some of them will not. And also, when we talk about God being a title, I do know God's name, but just like I know my mom's name and I know my dad's name, I still call them mama, daddy, right? But if I were in a crowd, I'm gonna just shout their names. Eric, Frida, okay? Because I know there's lots of mommies and daddies around, right? So, and I want to be very careful in the way that I say this, but I know when I need to call my father by his name, and I do so regularly, but I do not, and I have not come to the understanding, although people have pointed to scripture for me, I have not had the revelation that the scripture that is being used to support that we should only use the title Yahuwah, we should only use Jesus's name Yeshua, I have not had the revelation that that actually is the way that people are intending to use it for that argument. So I'm still allowing myself to come around to understanding that, if there is any further understanding that is needed. Now, again, I say that with grace and understanding, because as I mentioned, I do believe that God does have grace and he is a kind, loving God. As much as he has wrath, he is kind and loving. And I do not believe that his name is a salvation issue. There are lots of things that are not salvation issues that we argue about. And I think it would be better served taking those things to God in prayer and asking for further clarification and asking him to open up the hearts of other people in the way that we all may have a better understanding. So that kind of takes care of that too. When you say, it seemed blasphemous in a way. Well, I mean, I don't really want to address that because it sounds like that was just backstory of how you came to understand. I do believe that this wilderness and isolation season will actually reveal a lot to you, because it's always in those seasons, for me at least, when I find God is just dropping the revelations and he's showing me things and he's like, hey, put this video in front of you. Hey, put this in front of you. Because he also knows that I'm a person who's very intrigued by things. So sometimes when I see something, I'm like, oh, I was just reading about that. Oh my goodness, I just had a question about that. Maybe this is God showing me this so that I can get further clarity. So I think the wilderness and the isolation season will also help you to understand. But as far as my perspective on name, I do think that we should all know the name of our Father. just as you would know the name of your physical, your natural earthly mother and father, right? I think that we should all know the name. But I do not believe at this time, God has not revealed to me that we should only be calling him by that name. And so I continue to say it. Now, I do understand why it's important is because since God is a title and there are so many little gods, little g gods, that people worship and idolize, it is very important to make that distinction. Because I've had, even recently, I said something in a video and I was like, you know, we turn those things over to Jesus. And this is so important because I noticed when I say God in a video, I may have people of other faiths, particularly the Islamic faith, that will say, yes, God, right? And we know that we're not talking about the same God. So in those types of situations where you want to clarify, it is important to say who it is that you're talking about, right? And before I knew God's real name, so to speak, I would make clarifying statements by saying, like, God of Abraham, God of Jacob, right? Because that was a clarifying statement. And so I think that it's important to know God's name and to not lose the importance of that and to not make light of his name. Because I do believe that there is more to say about not blaspheming the Holy Spirit, not taking God's name in vain. And I think it is surrounding that. But as I said, there is so much that I'm still experiencing understanding around. So I, as far as the name, I don't hold people to, you have to say this, you have to say this, because I also know that, like I mentioned, the purpose of people, and a lot of this happens like this, the reason that a lot of people will say, you're self-righteous, you're so full of pride, that's the spirit of Antichrist, that's the spirit of confusion, is because they actually think that people are being self-righteous. And this is also what I believe when you look at, like Hebrew Israelites, the Black Hebrew Israelites, people who refer to themselves as Hebrews, people in the Christian faith, a lot of the misunderstandings that we have are because of people hearing things but not really understanding what the other person is saying. So for instance, a Hebrew Israelite might make a statement about the laws and what we're supposed to eat. And a Christian might mistakenly think this person is saying that this is a salvation thing. And maybe that is what they're saying. But what I would do is take a step back and say, oh, my assumption is that people who practice law keeping are not keeping the law. And I'm saying like all the laws. They're not exercising, I don't eat this, I'm standing by this. Like they're not doing those things because it makes them saved. They're doing those things in obedience because they are saved. But a lot of times it's not received that way. So even you having this revelation and this personal conviction, because this is something that I think is so important to understand, that for most people, this is a personal conviction because it's not something that is explicitly clear in our Bibles. You actually have to seek God for the answers to this question and the understanding. And so because of that, you can be a person who comes off as self-righteous if you don't take the time to check your heart posture and to try to understand and hear people out. And you could potentially allow your conviction on that matter to be something that pushes other people away and actually turns them completely away from the truth. And so I wouldn't even take offense, because one of the things I've learned is when people say things about the faith, about Christianity, about what you believe, we don't have to take personal offense, because in reality, I just believe what God believes. I'm obedient to my Father as much as I can be, right? I'm human. And there, you know, we're all going to fall short, and I understand that. But, you know, walking in repentance and living and walking as righteously as I can, I understand that I'm a representative of my Father. And so when people do and say things, I hurt for them because I understand the severity of your soul. I understand the importance of securing your soul, right? I understand the importance of salvation. And so I hurt for people when they say certain things. But I also understand, as I mentioned earlier, that there are just different things that people have to understand. I've been in a place where my heart was so hard. I've been in a place where I didn't want to listen to things that people were saying. Just like I said, that video where the lady was speaking earlier, the lady who was living in a trans lifestyle. There are just certain things, and not even just pertaining to the things of God, but there have been things in life where if I'm so offended and so stubborn, I don't really want to hear what somebody has to say. And I think you have to remember that. I think you have to remember that people are still people at the end of the day. And when it comes to religious circles and churches, a lot of people, as you mentioned, they don't really want somebody to tell them anything different. And you have to have a childlike faith. A child never knows everything, right? Even adults, we don't know everything. But childlike faith being very open and receptive to things, because children don't know as much as adults do, but they're also more receptive to learning. They're very curious. And I think that we have to embrace that. And sometimes our elders are not willing to do that. So they will go into their grave carrying things that weren't necessarily the truth simply because they didn't want to do anything different. And this is also why you still have elders in church that want to continue to celebrate holidays that are not God's holy days. This is why you have, and they think that these things are unreasonable and causing confusion and just, you know, it's not that serious. This is something that we've always done, but it's because they're so connected to tradition more than they are in seeking the truth. Now, the one thing that I will also add is one of the reasons that I don't believe we're supposed to solely use the name, the Hebrew names, is because I know firsthand that the name of Jesus is powerful, right? And I think that that's one of those things that God gives us extreme grace with. I think that Yah is well aware. Not I think, I know he's well aware of people's intentions when it comes to those things. So I would say you continue to use the name that God has told you to use. And don't worry about it if it offends people. You can have a conversation about that. And I think it would be worth it to say, even though it may not, again, you gotta keep in mind, it may not be ready to be received by these people, but you can say with a gentleness, you know, this is a conviction that I've had, and I don't want to cause confusion, but I also don't want to walk in rebellion. And me saying that doesn't mean that I think that you're walking in rebellion, but it is a personal conviction, just like drinking, right? Like I know, especially now, it's been more affirmed. That was a sermon that I actually watched, but I know that it's okay for us to drink wine, right? I know that those things are okay. However, I still know too, in social settings, I still choose not to drink because of my own personal convictions. But I don't allow my personal convictions to lead me into casting judgment on others, right? So in your realization of what is true, what we have to do is be super patient. And I can tell you that that's something that actually does pay off, and it's a beautiful thing, because I can't tell you how many times, just on social media, how many times I've had people say things like, you know, I'm not even really a religious person, but every time I see you, I feel more compelled to try to get closer to God. And that's not me, like, glory be to God, right? But I know that it would not be as effective if I was aggressive, if I was condemning people, if I was like, you're going to hell every 5 seconds, if I was like, well, you're not doing this right. And honestly, if I were to have that spirit, if we were to walk in that spirit, and some Christians do, we would also have to admit that we're hypocrites, because the things that we're condemning people for, we at one point were guilty of doing. So I wouldn't condemn you for not understanding something. I would try to enlighten you as best I can, and then I would back off, because I've planted the seed, I've said it, and I've prayed to God that you may have that increase, that you may have that understanding. And if I am wrong, I pray that he reveal that to me. And I think that is something that we also have to be very wary of, because we can also be very confident in our own understanding, and we know we're not supposed to lean on our own understanding, right? So we can sometimes be guilty of looking at things from a certain lens that's not really the lens that we should be looking at it from. And this would explain why too, sometimes even now, where you read the Bible and you interpret it a certain way, and then you come to realize, like, wow, that's not even what that was saying. That's not even what I was supposed to take from that. And then you have to go on what it is that you know now. So imagine all the things that you've had revelation on. Imagine all the things that God has said to you, revealed to you, helped you with, changed your understanding on, changed your heart posture on. And then just consider that everybody's on their own journey. So you have a responsibility to help people. You have a responsibility to evangelize. But I think you have to exercise extreme discernment in cases on more sensitive things that are like deeper truths that everybody hasn't accepted. You don't lie to coddle them or to make them feel better. But sometimes we have to ask God, is this the time, y'all? Like, please, y'all, give me the words if this is what you want me to do. If this is what you want me to say. If you want me to say something right now, help me to have the words and help it to be well received. And sometimes that's all it takes, because then you open your mouth and boom, it's fine. It's understood. And I think this is important to have that practice of saying things and leaving it and not beating the horse dead, because it's a very gentle way that aids in a personal conviction. And you can see it in a person. I remember having a conversation with somebody about something, and in my head, I'm like, man, I don't know if they even hear what I'm saying. But then when you look in a person's face, you can see it, right? So if you're having this conversation with somebody, you say, you know, I know you're always saying that to use the name Yahuwah and to say Yeshua instead of Jesus. You say that that's the spirit of Antichrist and confusion. And I want to know more about why you say that. And really listen to them. Because a lot of times we have a habit of listening so that we can form a rebuttal. We have a habit of listening long enough so we can figure out what we want to say. But if you listen to them and you hear them out, right, and you validate some of the things that you agree with, and you ask for permission, you'd be like, you know, I hear you, and I really do understand that, because obviously I grew up saying God and I grew up saying Jesus. But I actually want to ask you a question. Like, do you think that it is inherently wrong to use his real name? Do you think that it is wrong to say Yahuwah? Because the revelation that I've had is a little bit different than that. And when I say the revelation that I've had, you know, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that this is a personal conviction that God has given me, and I'd like to share that with you. And they'll probably say yes or no. And if you find, again, in this situation that they're very aggressive, well, you know, let me just leave that alone. And as far as trying to figure out how to deal with it, it's just knowing what to leave unsaid. And it's also considering if anything ever compromises you as a Christian, then it's time to walk away. And I feel you on the thing with church family, because I also grew up in a church where that's been my church my whole life. The pastor is my cousin. My grandma went to this church. My daddy went, like, we all been in this church for generations. But as I get older, I realize not just the church is, I'm not growing spiritually there, but also sometimes there's this pressure to stay because that's always where you've been. And so I don't know if you also feel that. You didn't necessarily say it. I don't know if you also feel that, but I want you to also know it's okay to step away and to still love those people and to still support those people and to still be there for those people, because it's not a cult, right? Like, it's not like a sorority or a fraternity where you're in and then if you're out, you're out and we never talk to each other again. You know, you can still love these people. You can still lift them up. You can still be supportive. And I'm saying this, if your husband finds, like, hey, babe, this is not for us, we need to leave this church, I don't think it's anything wrong with that if it makes sense. But sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves to also cut everybody off. And that doesn't have to be the case. Now, if you do make that decision and it just proves to be too tumultuous and they're very aggressive in your decision to use God's real name, I think that that's very telling. Because, again, it's one thing to call out a lie. It's another thing to call out a lie and then constantly condemn somebody for something. Because even our correction should not be condemning. So even if they believe that they really are right, it should not come from a place of condemnation. And so I said a lot, and you can probably understand now why I could not fit this in an email. Or maybe it could have been an email. I don't know. But I wanted to elaborate quite a bit. So hopefully this does help you. Hopefully this gives you a little bit more comfort. Because we're not alone in these struggles. And I know that there are other people who have either gone through this or they're currently going through it, where they're battling with these things. And like I said, a lot of times our understanding of these things gets even more complicated because everybody has a think piece or an opinion. And so I hope that I'm not deviating you from your understanding or like making it more complicated for you. But I do want to encourage you to approach the topic with sensitivity and to be appropriately addressing it with other people, to not be like, you know, puffed up with pride about it, and to just take your time and to understand discernment, right? Don't move and say things when God hasn't called you to. And I think that it will actually be okay, friend. So hopefully this was helpful, and I will see y'all in the next episode.